The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 4, text number 15, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on May 31st, 2008, in Brisbane, Australia.
So today, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 4, The Atrocities of King Kamsa, text number 15.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aho bhagin yaho bhama,
aho bhagin yaho bhama,
mayavang bhatta papmana,
mayavang bhatta papmana,
purushada iva patyam,
purushada iva patyam,
bahavo hingsita
sutta,
bahavo hingsita sutta. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Alas, my sister, alas, my brother-in-law, I am indeed so sinful that exactly like a man-eater rakshasa who eats his own child, I have killed so many sons born of you, purport. Rakshasas are understood to be accustomed to eating their own sons, as snakes and many other animals sometimes do. At the present moment in Kali Yuga, Rakshasa fathers and mothers are killing their own children in the womb, and some are even eating the fetus with great relish. Thus, the so-called civilization is gradually advancing by producing Rakshasas. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. So, just imagine how grotesque to have a fetus for breakfast. This is actually what is described here by Srila Prabhupada. They are so demoniac. They will eat their own child. Eat. Not only abort, but also eat the fetus. And Prabhupada calls this advancement. You see, there's two kinds of advancement. There's advancement in Krishna consciousness. That is what we are interested in. But there is also advancement in Rakshasa consciousness, as described here. So you can advance either way.
Krishna consciousness or Rakshasa consciousness. We have the free choice. We can go either direction. God does not force. Krishna does not force. Some people say that God is controlling everything and planning everything, so why is he producing all of these Rakshasas? But no. Krishna is like a loving father. He is a loving, not like. Krishna is our loving father. He gives us his loving kindness. He showers his causeless mercy upon us. And then he allows us, just like a parent, to choose to love him or to leave him. You see, you cannot force your child to love you by handcuffing him to the bed. You have to give him the choice. Love me or leave me. But I give you my love, you see. The parent gives the love to the child freely, hoping the child will become inspired to reciprocate, isn't it? You cannot force. So, in the same way with God, with Krishna, he gives, he showers unlimited loving affection upon each and every one of the jivas. And then it is up to them to become to be a devotee or to be a rakshasa. Everyone has that choice, devotee or rakshasa. Karmi. So whatever we want, God will give us. If we want to be man-eater, he will give us facility. We want to be prasad eater, he will give us facility for that also. As man proposes, God disposes. Ye yatamang prapadyante tangs the taiva bhajam yaham. Inasmuch as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So actually, everyone is surrendered to Krishna, even the rakshasas. They are surrendering to his illusory energy, that's all. Everyone is serving Krishna, directly or indirectly. There is no one who is not serving Krishna. In this state, you have two institutions. You have the university and you have the prison. They are both institutions of the state. So whether one is serving directly through devotional service or is serving his senses, which are part of the illusory energy, he is still serving God. One simply has to see which sort of service is favorable for my situation. What is more beneficial? What type of service will benefit me better? You see? If you are inclined to some cheap thrills, some quick instant pleasure, never mind the future, then the material nature is very good for you. You see. Or if you are interested in something substantial, something that has longevity, something which is ultimately beneficial, then the spiritual energy is for you. The material energy will give us temporality, ignorance, and suffering. The spiritual energy will give us eternity, knowledge, and bliss. You see, sat chit ananda from the material, the spiritual energy, and asat achit nirananda from the material energy. So, we encourage everyone to study. What is the difference between sat chit ananda and asat achit nirananda? And then make your decision. Just as Krishna told Arjuna, now I've explained everything to you, you do what you like. You see, we are not trying to force people to become Krishna conscious. We simply want to give everyone the opportunity to make an educated decision. You see, nowadays they don't realize there's any option. All they know is Indriya Seva. It's all they know, serving the senses. They don't know anything beyond serving the senses. It's a pathetic situation. They've been so much cheated
so much misguided by the leaders. The Rakshasa leaders have totally misguided these people. Totally misguided them. So, in the Krishna consciousness movement, our program is to give the education, to give the knowledge, to give the blessings, the inspiration, to show the pathway. Mahajana yena gatasya pantha. We want to show the people what is the pathway of these great Mahajanas. We're not going to force them to take that path. We want them to know there is a junction in this road. You can go this way or that way. Now they're not seeing the other option. You see, they're just going down the road. They don't realize there's another road they can take. That pathway of the great Mahajanas. Svayambhur Nadada Shambhu Kumara Kapilomanu Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Balirvayasa Kirviam. These 12 great Mahajanas, they are giving this wonderful pathway, the golden road of unlimited devotion, you see. They're giving this incredibly sublime pathway. People don't even know it exists. It's not on their roadmap, you see. Whoever drew up their map was a blind fool. They don't see there's another road on the roadmap. So we are giving them a better roadmap, that's all. And then they decide what they want, how they want to go, that's all. Krishna has a better road than Maya. Millions and millions of times better. No matter how much we try to be happy on Maya's road, we can never be happy, never become satisfied. We can try this, we can try that, so many ways, you see. We can try merging into Brahman. We can try worshipping the demigods and going to the heavenly planet Svargaloka. We can try to become a millionaire. We can try to become a rock musician. We can try so many things to be a star athlete. We can try so many ways to be happy on this road of Maya, and it will never be successful. Even if we can go all the way to Brahmaloka, the topmost planet in this material existence, where they have inconceivably amazing sense gratification. Brahmaloka. Even there, what is it? It's a miserable place. Brahma Vuvana Loka Punaravarchinarjuna Mam Upechir Konteya Punarjanmana Vidyate. This material world, Dukkalayam Ashashvatam, it is simply a place of misery. Now, even if you argue, but, well, it may be Dukkalayam for you, but for me, it is Sukkalayam. I have money, I have fame, I have women, I have followers. For me, it is a place of enjoyment. But even if you claim that for you it is Sukkalayam, you see, then you have to admit, my dear sir, it is a temporary place, the Shashvatam. But they say, but we will, through the advancement of science, we will figure out a way to live forever. You see, that's how they're being cheated by these scientists. Actually, I read one article. He was actually claiming, this scientist was saying, whatever you do, survive. You know, take vitamins, do whatever you can, because soon they will find a way for immortality. He was really serious. He really thought that soon we would find a way to, through, you know, programming the genes or some kind of an idea he had, you know, to actually give immortality. Somehow or other, just live long enough until the discovery is made. He was serious. The man is so deluded, he's not realizing that your karma cannot be reversed. Whatever karma is there, it's going to come. The laws of nature are a juggernaut.
They're insurmountable force. You know that word juggernaut? It's an English word, juggernaut. It comes from the word juggernaut. And the Britishers were, during British rule, and they saw this juggernaut Rath Yatra. And they, so they have made one word in British, in English language. Juggernaut means an a powerful, irresistible force, because they saw the big cart coming down the road. You see. So a juggernaut, so we can say that Jagannath is the juggernaut. And the laws of his material nature are also a juggernaut. They are a powerful, irresistible force. Kalosmi lokachaya krita. You see. I am all devouring time and I destroy everything. So there is no escape from the insurmountable juggernaut of time. There's no escape. Unless you want to come to the platform beyond time and space, the timeless platform, the immortal platform, immortality. You see? Unless you want to achieve the state of deathlessness, completely beyond the bodily consciousness, which all it really means is getting back to your original identity before you fell asleep and dreamed that you were the body. We simply have to wake up to our actual eternal existence. What is that? Jivera Sarupa Hoy Krishnera Nitya Das. We simply have to get back to our original identity. There's nothing artificial required. As I was explaining last night at the Atma Yoga Center, simply know who you are, really. That's all we're really saying. Just know who you are, and once you find out who you are, you'll be so inspired and so enlivened by knowing who you really are. You will naturally then be who you are. Why be a pauper in the street when you can be a multi-billionaire? You know, does it make sense? To be a pauper in the street when you can be a multi-billionaire? Is it? We are all more wealthy than even the most big billionaires on this planet. We are more wealthy, you see. We have the supreme opulence, Krishna Bhakti. How you can, someone may say, Sankarshan Prabhu, how can you say that Krishna Bhakti is more opulent than being a multi-billionaire? It's a nice sentiment, but how can you back it up scientifically? I can back it up scientifically. Because when you have Krishna Bhakti, then you become the owner of the owner. You understand? Krishna, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Krishna is the owner of everything that exists. He owns and controls everything. So, if you own that person, and you control that person who owns and controls everything, you are as good as being the owner and controller of everything yourself, actually. Am I right or wrong? If you own and control the one who owns and controls everything in the total existence, then you have inconceivable opulence. See? That is the position of the pure devotee. He completely controls Krishna. Krishna is completely under the control of his pure devotee. Krishna is ajitta. He is unconquerable. But he becomes conquered by the love of his pure devotee. So therefore I can assert scientifically that the pure devotee of Krishna, there is no one who possesses greater opulence than the pure devotee. He has more opulence than Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods. Because whatever he needs to engage in Krishna's service, Krishna provides it. Everything is given to the pure devotee. Everything comes. He is not lacking in anything. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Everything comes to the pure devotee. Yoga chemam vaham yaham. Everything comes. So we don't need to struggle so hard in this material world to get ahead. Simply do our whatever is necessary to keep body and soul together, and then put the balanced energy into advancing ourselves along that pathway of Krishna bhakti. This is intelligence. This is actual intelligence. You understand? Does this make sense to you? Yeah. This is the only sensible philosophy being taught in this world. There is no other philosophy that is sensible, actually, other than what we are teaching. You see, there is nothing else sensible. Everything else is simply rakshasa philosophy. You see, eating your own child, eating a fetus, that is their philosophy. It is, their life is like them. Crazy, madmen they are. What is that saying? A madman can, a goat can eat anything and a madman can speak anything. So, instead of hearing from the madman, we should learn how to hear from the bona fide spiritual master, the bona fide sadhus, and the bona fide scriptures. That's what we should hear. We should not hear from the rakshasas. If we can hear from bona fide guru, from the bona fide sadhus, and from the bona fide scriptures, then our pathway back to the Supreme Perfection will be sure and certain. We will no longer be misdirected, misguided, bewildered and confused. If we don't surrender to the bona fide spiritual master, we must become bewildered. But as soon as we surrender to the bona fide spiritual master, then everything becomes crystal clear. You understand? Karpanya dosho pahata svabhava prichchami tvang dharma samuddha cheta yat shreyan syan nishchitan bruhitang me shishashtehang shadimam tvang prapanam. Krishna is telling Arjuna, now I am confused about my duty. I have lost all composure due to miserly weakness. In this condition, O Krishna, I am begging you, please, 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 tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. You see, as soon as we can humble ourselves before the bona fide spiritual master in this way, you see, then everything becomes illuminated by the mercy of God, the mercy of Guru. Everything becomes illuminated. There's no more confusion. There's no more illusion. There's no more delusion. Instead, there is transformation of the consciousness from material to spiritual. So in this way, if we can fully understand, appreciate, and fully absorb ourselves 24/7 in this process of Krishna bhakti, then all of our problems will be solved forever. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Vajadam Prabhu, yeah. Speak up, I'm hard of hearing.
You're talking about how everyone can choose their own path, either the rakshasa path.
That's right. We have the choice which pathway to take. That's right.
And
path of darkness is the path of light, yes.
And give so much time and energy to try to make them devotees.
Yes.
And then oftentimes they don't become devotees.
Yes.
So how not to be discouraged by that?
How not to be discouraged?
Yes.
Well, even in ordinary sales, there's some handy mottos which are quite good, even for devotees. In the ordinary sales, they teach one principle. Some will, some won't. So what? Next. So that's one way to look at it. Well, just got to stay fixed on approaching as many. Sincerely give this message to this person, that person. Don't expect that everyone's going to become a devotee. Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye yatatam api siddhama kaschin mang viti tatvatah. It's going to be a very rare number. Therefore, you have to approach as you have to give this knowledge to as many people as you possibly can. Understanding that only one out of a million, only one out of a thousand is going to take interest. And only out of a thousand that take interest, only one will fully take it. If you get better than one out of a million, you have a really good batting average. Krishna says, one out of a million. So how many people have you told about Krishna? A million people? If you've been able to make a person Krishna, a devotee, and you haven't approached a million people yet, you have a very good batting average, very good batting average. Because Krishna says one out of a million, you see. So if you've been able to influence anyone to become Krishna conscious and you haven't even spoken to a million yet, you should become really encouraged. Wow, Krishna has blessed me with a really good batting average. I only preached to, 500 people and I made a devotee. Wow, I'm really fortunate. I beat the numbers. I beat the odds. Actually, to feel sadness and bewilderment in your heart that I tried to reach that person and I couldn't, and to be brokenhearted over it is a wonderful thing, Prabhu. It's wonderful. If you're in anxiety that I tried to make that person Krishna conscious and I couldn't do it, and you're so much in anxiety about that, it's wonderful. You know why? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in a state of great transcendental anxiety to see all of these conditioned souls who are lost in the whirlpool of birth and death. He's greatly in anxiety. So if you will take some of that anxiety upon yourself, then you're relieving Lord Chaitanya some of his burden. You are sharing the anxiety of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if you do that, you can just try to understand how much mercy, how much blessings he will shower upon you for assisting him in this way. So even if you don't make one person Krishna conscious, you see, do not become discouraged from this endeavor. In fact, Srila Prabhupada defines in his Bhagavatam purport what is a Krishna conscious person. Now my question of you is this. What is the name of our society? International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now does that mean the members of the society are supposed to be Krishna conscious? Yes, of course. Every one of us is supposed to be Krishna conscious. Now, Prabhupada describes in his purport what is the definition of a Krishna conscious person. And this is his definition. A Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. And even if he is not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed. And anyone who follows him is also guaranteed to achieve perfection. So even if you don't make one person Krishna conscious, stick to your duty. Given by Srila Prabhupada, your duty is to make the whole world Krishna conscious. According to Prabhupada's definition of a Krishna conscious being, you should be thinking, how can I deliver this entire planet?
How can I become such a pure example and an expert presenter of this philosophy that the whole world could be inspired by my preaching to become Krishna conscious? You see? Ad yad yad acharati shreshtas, you see. One person who is an ideal example, Krishna says he can inspire the whole world. So does Prabhupada want that she just be one acharya? That's what the Ritviks say. Only one acharya for ISKCON, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta. Everybody else is just supposed to be a kanishta. No one else is supposed to be an acharya, only Prabhupada is supposed to be an acharya. But Prabhupada told us in Mayapur in April 1976, he wanted, his vision was 10 million acharyas for ISKCON. So, you should try to become an acharya who can inspire the whole world to take to Krishna consciousness. But there's no reason to be discouraged, because if you sincerely try your level best to make the world Krishna conscious by becoming an ideal Vaishnava, if you sincerely try your level best, you're guaranteed to go back to Godhead. And anybody that you were able to touch their heart, you see, along the pathway, they will follow you. They will also achieve perfection. So don't be discouraged. This is our family business. You see, our family business is to deliver this planet. It is coming down. We are in a line of Goshti Anandis. We are in the Goshti Anandi line. We are not the Bhajan Anandi line. Although we had some Bhajan Anandis in our line, that was their arrangement of Krishna. That was a special rasa for them. But our line is actually a Goshti Anandi line. We want to deliver this entire planet. That is our line. So you stick to the family business. Give it your best shot, your best endeavor. And whatever comes, take it as Krishna's mercy. That's all. A devotee is not, he's not carried away by success, nor is he depressed by failure. You know that shloka? What is that shloka? Trying to remember now the Sanskrit. I'll give you the English. A person who is not, does not lament when he is a failure, and he does not rejoice when he is a success. Such a person is self-intelligent, he's unbewildered. He knows the science of God and he's fixed in transcendence. And then Krishna continues in the next verse, Bhayasvarsheshvasaktatma vindatyatmaniyatsukam sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukam akshayam ashnute. Such a liberated person is not attracted to any material sense enjoyment. For he concentrates on the happiness within. In this enlightened state, he enjoys unlimited happiness. Sukham akshayam ashnute. So, this is the position. You have to train yourself like that. Don't become excited when you're successful, thinking, oh, just see what a great preacher I am. I distributed a Bhagavad Gita. Just see what a great preacher I am. I made someone a devotee. Wow, I'm great. You see, don't get excited when you're successful. And don't become morose when you're a failure. Just be equipoised, you see. Train yourself to be equal in success and failure and just do your duty, that's all. You do your duty to spread this Krishna Ganga's movement and then leave the result in the hands of Krishna. If you're discouraged, that means you think you're the doer. Stop thinking you're the doer, and you'll never become discouraged, you see. Because you're thinking you're the doer, and you want to be
thinking, yes, I did it, and you weren't able to do it, you become discouraged. You understand? Don't think that you're the doer. You're just an instrument. Let Krishna do it through you, whatever he wants to do. And the more that you surrender, the more you become an instrument in his hands, he will do more and more and more and more through you, using you as an instrument. You just try to be the completely, what is that word, supple instrument in the hands of the Lord. Flexible, bendable. He can use you in any way. You see, you just place yourself like that in the hands of Krishna, then and watch the magic happen. Any other questions? Yes.
Does that then mean that although we are, because of a past karma, our destiny is decided by our past karma? So I'm saying that by surrendering to Krishna, that destiny is sort of taken care by Krishna. So
it's a little hard because I'm hard of hearing, but you're saying that you're asking, when you surrender to Krishna, does
our past karma is taken care of because we believe?
Yes, 99.99% of it. Krishna gives, there's some token reaction for our past sins, but it's practically all taken care of, yeah. It's all wiped out. 99.99% of it's wiped out. At the time of initiation, the spiritual master is a conduit through which that karma is extracted. That's why sometimes the spiritual master gets sick or has bad dreams, because of his disciples' karma. But actually, it's drawn through the whole disciplic succession to Krishna himself, and he neutralizes all of it. All of those sinful reactions are neutralized by Krishna. That is his great kindness. Sarva papebhyo mokshayishami. I deliver you from all of your past sins. Isn't that wonderful? Krishna is so kind. Otherwise, who knows what we'd have to go through, what kind of hell we'd have to go through for what we've done in this lifetime and previous lifetime. But Krishna makes it easy for us. We simply surrender to him, he takes away that karma. It's clean slate. Takes the eraser and wipes it all off the board. Questions more? No question? I guess you want me to leave then. Want me to go pack my bags and get out? We have.
So.
Huh?
So. That means we are so. That the number of fortunate people in this world is so negligible, so few, but that's the case because we have come into contact with Krishna.
Yeah, right now the number is very small, so it's our duty to try to make it a humongous number. That is our duty as the Chaitanyaites, you see. It is our duty that everyone would try to give this mercy to everyone. That's why Prabhupada told us to flood this planet with his books, to flood it with the holy names, to flood it with festivals, to flood it with prasadam. In this way, you see, he wanted us to inundate this entire planet with Krishna Bhakti. We really have to get back into the revolutionary mood of taking over the world for Prabhupada. We really do. Because they're suffering like anything without Krishna consciousness. It's horrible what they're going through. This is the one. My different associations I have with Prabhupada, this is when I got the most positive feedback from Prabhupada. We had a little preaching center in Austin, Texas. And the temple president said, well, we're going to close down the center and just go traveling and preaching. But I was really attached to the idea of preaching to the people in that town. So I didn't think we should close this. Cause, and Prabhupada had also told me in my initiation letter, make our Austin Center a grand success. So I was thinking, this is a direct order from my spiritual master. If there is no center, then how can I carry out his order? So I wasn't very happy with the idea of, you know, closing the center and hitting the road. So I wrote Prabhupada wanting to somehow get a reversal, you know, from Prabhupada, because I didn't think we should close the center. I wanted, Prabhupada had the power to overpower the temple presidency. So I wrote him. I wanted to convince Prabhupada to overpower the order of the temple president if we're going to close the center, because I didn't think it should be closed. I said, Srila Prabhupada, the people in this town are very much suffering because they're lacking Krishna consciousness. So I think we should stay here and preach to them here. And Prabhupada was so pleased with me. The temple president was very pleased. Oh, he was very unhappy with me. Prabhupada corrected him and glorified me. That this temple should remain open. And he was so pleased with me that I wanted to stay there and preach. So, we have this. This is how we can please Srila Prabhupada and please our spiritual master and please the sadhu, you see. If we just have this mood of wanting to spread Krishna consciousness to the suffering souls, then we'll get mercy from Prabhupada, we'll get mercy from our initiating spiritual master, and all the sadhus, they will all bless us with so much mercy. If we just take this mood of wanting to give the mercy we have gotten from them to the people of this world. So anyway, yes, Manaji. Yes, see, that's right.
So when we make certain mistakes, like material mistakes, do we take the complete, are we responsible completely for it, or we say surrender Krishna and say he's the cause?
So Krishna is the cause of our causes, and then, so that, what is the question in regards to them?
We make certain mistakes, like spiritually or materially.
Do we think, is Krishna, is it Krishna's fault that people are in Maya? Is that the question? So he's the cause of the Kali Yuga and all the nonsense that's going on? Is that your question?
Like certain mistakes, yeah, that we make certain decisions.
So when I make a mistake, it's Krishna's fault because he's the cause of our causes? Is that you're asking? Okay. And yes. I didn't say yes to the question. I'm saying yes, I've acknowledged what the question is. Okay. It is a fact that Krishna is indeed the cause of our causes. That is not disputable. That is coming from the authority of Brahmaji himself, the founder acharya of our sampradaya, Brahmaji. So there's no disputing that Krishna is indeed the cause of all causes. So does that mean that he's responsible for all these man-eating rakshasas who are eating their kids, etc.? Krishna is the cause of all causes. No. Even though Krishna is indeed the cause of all causes, he gives the living entities the free will to serve him or to not serve him, because he wants to have loving relationships. It is a normal psychology that you have and that I have. We want to have loving relationships, isn't it? They even have a popular song, you know, I don't want to live in a world without love, back in the 60s. I don't want to live in a world without love, you see. So the nature is, and that nature comes from God himself. He does not want to live in a world without love. He could have not manifested any jiva soul from himself. He could have remained all alone. He could have not manifested Radharani also as Ladini Shakti. He could have just remained there as Atmaram, all alone, with nothing. As Krishna all by himself. But he chose to have not be alone, not at any particular moment in time. This is his eternal position. That is, he is manifesting countless numbers, an infinite number of jivas and Vishnu tattva expansions from himself to expand his own happiness, his own pleasure, pastimes unlimitedly. So he has caused that we all exist. He has given us the choice to serve him directly or indirectly through the spiritual energy or the material energy. So, the choice is ours though, which energy we want to serve. Whether you take the spiritual energy or the material energy, he is the cause of all causes in either case. But you're given a choice, plan A or plan B. Do you want back to home, back to Godhead, or do you want the cycle of birth and death? He's the cause of both, actually. They're both going on under his energy. But you have the choice which one to do. Now, therefore, he's not responsible for all the nonsense. It's not his fault for all the nonsense that's going on, the mistakes that we make. If we do something right, you should think, this is the mercy of Guru and Krishna. I did something right for a change. And you make a mistake, you shouldn't say, well, it's Krishna's fault because he's the cause of all causes. No, you are making a mistake because you have foolishly mischosen to serve the material nature instead of the spiritual nature. That's why we make mistakes. It's our own misuse of our independence. It is not Krishna's cause or Krishna's fault that we make a mistake. It is our own misuse of our independence. Is this clear? Don't blame Krishna. Well, I went out and had a beer last night, and Krishna is the cause of all causes, so you know, it's his fault. No, you misused your independence. It's your fault. You broke the principles. Any other questions? Why did he give us what?
Why did he give us the choice then?
Choice, yes. As I explained, he wants to have loving relationships. Now, if I put a gun at your head and say, love me or I'll shoot, am I giving you a choice?
No.
Can you actually love me? Not really. Of course, if you're really advanced, someone could argue, a pure devotee could do that in spite of a gun. But I'm speaking in normal layman's terms. If I put a gun in your head, you would not be able to feel any love. You couldn't manifest love for me on the basis of that gun at your head. So this means love is voluntary. So Krishna gives us the choice so that we can actually, because he wants love. He wants loving rasa with us. Therefore, he gives us choice. If there is no choice, there can be no loving rasa. You understand?
Yeah.
Simple thing. Very simple thing. It's like a parent, they love their child, they don't chain him to the bed and say, love me or, you know, I'm going to whip you. Be kind to me, be sweet with me, my little child, or I'm going to whip you. No, they don't. I mean, sometimes they may scold the child, but generally they give the child the freedom as he's growing up to love or leave the parents, eventually. That is given. That freedom is given. The child is not kept as a prisoner against his will. So Krishna does not keep us as prisoners against our will in his transcendental kingdom, nor does he drag us. Some people say, well, why doesn't he just come here and force everybody to get out of here and take them back to Godhead? He doesn't want prisoners in the spiritual world. He wants people who've come there because they love Krishna and they want to serve him. What good is it to round up all the suffering jivas of this world and put him in handcuffs and drag him back in a paddy wagon to Goloka Vrindavan? What good would that be? No. They have no loving feeling for Krishna. What good is it? What good would they be in the spiritual world? They wouldn't be happy there. There's no brothels there. There's no liquor shop. There's no McDonald's. They wouldn't be happy in the spiritual world. There's only the mood of pure bhakti. So to let them be happy, Krishna gives them places like Brisbane, you see, where they can get their sense beatification. Brisbane, Calcutta, you know, etc. New York City, etc. Any other questions? Everybody's satisfied now, ready to become a pure devotee and make the world Krishna conscious? Ready to become a spiritual revolutionary for Prabhupada and your Guru Maharaj? Everyone's ready? Take the world for Krishna. All right. So we'll stop here. Grantharad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.